What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Welcome back. Tom Abraham Show, our number two here in the doghouse, the empty doghouse. Big Dog not here. It is just me, Tony Mack, for the rest of the week. All right, guys. College basketball. College basketball. You know what college basketball is. Stop asking. You know what college basketball is. It's that thing that everybody gets to make brackets for after football season. Look, I get it. I know where we live. It's Alabama. It's football season. And we're about to get into the bowl games where we've got two SEC teams in the playoff. I get it. But you can't escape how exciting college basketball has been right now. I mean, you've got 11-0 Duke dominating. I mean, they beat St. Francis last night, but by like 57. It's St. Francis, I get it, but they're 11-0, they're rolling. They've got one of the best players in the country right now in Marvin Bagley. I mean, and don't sleep on Grayson Allen, who's been a great leader so far this season, played really well. At Michigan State right behind him at three. Their only loss is to Duke. I mean, we've got a lot of really competitive basketball this year in college basketball. We got great players all over the place. This is the refreshing college basketball season I needed. And if you guys don't know what's going on, if you're a little behind, and that's okay. That's why I have Greg Peterson from My Guys in the Desert here to clue us all in. Because let me tell you something right now. I haven't heard anybody on this show know more about college basketball than this guy. Greg, welcome in. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you might have to explain. I was going to go through, you know, some of the best conferences and stuff like that, and maybe we'll have time to get into it, but you might have to explain to all these football fans, because of what we have going on in the SEC, having two teams in the college football playoff, you might have to explain to them what a basketball is, because, I mean, it's been so far out of their mind right now.
It has been insane this year. The PK80 really got us off to a good start, and you just mentioned yesterday that humongous win that Duke had over St. Francis of Pennsylvania. What many people forget is that the St. Francis of Pennsylvania Red Flashes were actually picked to win the Northeastern Conference during the preseason by the media. So
wow.
That is a team that was projected to win their conference and make the NCAA tournament that Duke just mopped the floor with. They were up by 30 points with 10 minutes left in the first half. It was absolutely insane. We've got so many special players. I mean, the Muhammad Bamba dunk yesterday that the Texas player had on VCU, guy got 12 and a half feet in the air. Kid has a 7'9" wingspan. You've got star players all over the place. You've got big upsets happening. You've got great teams coming to the forefront. This is an absolutely great time of year for college basketball.
Absolutely, and if you're talking college basketball this year, I think the peak has to start in the ACC. I mean, you had the ACC Big Ten Challenge, where the ACC absolutely wiped the floor with everybody just about, and Duke leads that class with probably one of, I'd say, the best, most exciting for me to watch anyway, but I could be wrong, player in the country with Marvin Bagley, and you still have Grayson Allen doing really cool Grayson Allen things, shooting the ball really well. So if you're going best conference and best player, do you start both of those conversations with the ACC and Duke basketball?
Oh, you have to. I mean, Duke has looked so good this year. They were able to come back in overtime against Texas in the PK80. They then get a huge win in the PK80 over Florida. That was one of the best games of the year so far. This is a Duke team that really knows how to close late. They've done it so many times this year in those two games I mentioned before. And also against Indiana in the ACC Big Ten Challenge that you mentioned a little bit earlier. And then they've just completely wrecked shop against the lesser opponents that they played. Teams like South Dakota, St. Francis of PA that they played yesterday, Furman, those teams have just stood no chance against them. And many people forget about the other guys on Duke as well. They like to highlight Marvin Bagley, who I feel like is the best player in the country right now, doing a little bit of everything down low. They also highlight Grayson Allen because he is a senior, and he really lifted this team over Michigan State. But Wendell Carter making some good contributions down low as well. He's been playing more of the four spot for this team. Does a little bit of everything. He can block some shots. He's got some range on his jumper. Very good player. And then you also forget about Gary Trent. He's really a glue guy in the backcourt. He's able to make some big shots. He did so against Texas. He had a huge and one that really took that game to overtime and allowed them to get that win. So Duke top to bottom just has a completely loaded roster. Coach K has done a very good job bringing in four of the top 10 ESPN-rated prospects in the nation, and they're all meshing really well right now.
You mentioned we're talking about Duke and the ACC, obviously, but I'm looking at the rankings. We had Texas A&M go down to Arizona last night, but we still have them at 7 right now. Florida at 5 from the SEC. Kentucky still in the top 10 at 8. And Tennessee squeaked in at 24. Alabama dropped out of the AP rankings off after a loss to UCF late in the weekend this past week, but they still have some outstanding players. Where would you put the SEC right now in terms of ranking the conferences?
I think that they're certainly behind the ACC at this point. And in regards to top-to-bottom talent, I would still have the Big 12 ahead of them as well, just because when you take a look at the Big 12, they're probably going to get at least 60% of their teams into the field. I think that the Big 12 is a six-bid league. And let's face it, the SEC is just not going to get 8 teams into the NCAA tournament. But having said that, the Big 10 looks down this year. I mean, you take a look at Minnesota. They lost to Nebraska last night in just a terrible loss. Wisconsin is 4-5 right now. They do not look like the same Wisconsin team of old. That's gonna hurt the whole conference. Also, in the more middling teams like Northwestern, not as good as they were last year. They took a bad loss to Texas Tech. They also did not look good when they were able to knock off Illinois in overtime. This is a team that's reeling a little bit. So if you're taking a look at the overall conference rankings, I'd probably put the SEC number 3 behind the ACC, and also behind the Big 12.
Well, let's stay in the SEC here for just a second. I know every conference in basketball kind of has their class of the conference. You got Duke, North Carolina in the ACC. You got Kansas in the Big 12. And certainly in the SEC, we've always really had Kentucky, especially when Coach Cal came back to take over. Now, you have them ranked behind A&M at the moment, which they'll probably drop after their loss yesterday, and then Florida up at 5. And like I said, Tennessee's still up and coming. Alabama has some really talented guys up there. How, because of the parity and talent here in the SEC now, top to bottom, is it necessarily a bad thing if Kentucky doesn't win the SEC?
I think it's a very good thing. What we've noticed in the SEC in the past couple years is they're bringing in really good coaches. Getting in Avery Johnson is absolutely huge. Mike White has been a great hire for Florida. Ben Howland is turning around Mississippi State, a team that's really going under the radar, and I do believe that they're 8-0 right now. And heck, even Ole Miss is right now 5-3 with a loss to South Dakota State, but they just went to overtime with Virginia Tech. This is still a good Ole Miss team that has a chance to make it to the NCAA tournament. They're led by a guy by the name of Markel Crawford, who's a graduate transfer from Memphis. I have a feeling that he's going to put up some big numbers for them this year. Tennessee had a better-than-expected showing in the battle for Atlantis. They were able to take down Purdue in overtime. Auburn is a team that's gotten off to a really good start. And you go down the list, I mean, LSU might be the worst team in this conference, and they actually played, I would say, a couple relatively competitive games in the Maui Invitational. Obviously, the 40-point blowout that they took against Notre Dame, not necessarily the best look, but top to bottom, the SEC looks like a very strong conference. And, I mean, you've got a couple teams that are really going to vie for that number one spot in Florida, Kentucky, and also Texas A&M.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, let's talk about Tennessee for a second because, well, number one, they need some positive coming around right now. They're looking for a head coach in football. But I have a diehard Tennessee friend of mine who is very high on Tennessee basketball right now. What do I? Let's start there. What do I tell him? Should I give into that feed and tell him, yeah, they are pretty good? Or should I be skeptical? Or like I said, should I join in on celebrating how good they are so far?
I mean, they've gotten off to a good start, but we also saw a little bit of this last year. I still remember in the Maui Invitational, they actually, I believe that, which made you think, hey, maybe this team is back, and then they really just waned down the stretch. So that was a little bit of a bummer. But you take a look at Tennessee, I do think that they're a little bit better than last year. I see them a little bit more as an NIT team this year just because the SEC is better than it has been in the past couple years. Auburn is no longer a pushover. Mississippi State is no longer a pushover. Ole Miss is a team that has won 19 games or more in 11 of the last 12 years under Andy Kennedy. So I think that there's going to be some very stiff competition for Tennessee to be able to reach that 20-win plateau. So I think that they're better than last year. I just don't think they're quite a tournament team yet.
Wow. Greg Peterson, my guys in the desert with us. So realistically, they don't have a chance to beat North Carolina next week.
What was that?
So realistically, you're saying they probably don't have a chance. Tennessee doesn't have a chance to beat North Carolina next weekend or next week.
I don't think that they're going to be able to knock off North Carolina just because you do take a look at that game that they had against Villanova. They played them really tough in the first half, but Villanova was really off their game in that first half. And when Villanova started clicking, Tennessee just really did not have what it took to be able to counter that. So I just don't think they're quite at that level yet. I think that that would probably be more like a 12 to 14 point game.
Let's give the Big 12 a little love here. You mentioned probably top to bottom, they're talent-wise right behind the ACC as far as conferences go. Talk about some of the talent. I know obviously you've got Bamba of Texas, that freak of nature out there just throwing things down. That spike he had last night was impressive. He's just a threat around the rim. But talk about some other talent. Kansas, number two team in the country. What do they have going on? And also, there's a really good three-point shooter and a guy who's averaging 8 assists out of Oklahoma and Trey Young. Why don't you talk about those guys for a minute and their realistic chances of possibly being in the player of the year conversation.
And you just take a look at the Big 12. They've got so many good players. Ski Mikhailuk over there at Kansas. He's a guy that's draining threes all over the place. We were talking about Bamba. Kid has a 7'9" wingspan. And if he enters the NBA, which he obviously is going to, let's not mistake ourselves, he's going to be a one and done. He's going to enter right away. He's going to have the longest wingspan of any player to ever play in an NBA game. That is just absolutely mind-blowing. But then you take a look at some of the other teams in the Big 12. I mean, obviously, win the league. Like 13 straight years. We'd be stupid to think otherwise. I mean, it's just going to happen, unfortunately. But you've got a team in Baylor that is just gritty. They will just fight you tooth and nail, play very tough defense. This is a team that you want to be on the lookout for. West Virginia was able to get a good win over Virginia a couple nights ago in that battle for the between straight states. So that's another team to look for. Their conditioning doesn't look to be as good as it was last year, but West Virginia was a 4 seed last year. I have a feeling that they're going to be ending up as the top 25 team again this year. So you want to be on the lookout for them. TCU is the team that was able to knock off SMU yesterday. They're currently in the top 25. They won the NIT last year. They've got most of those guys back. Very good backcourt. You want to be on the lookout for them. And heck, you even take a look at Texas Tech. They're a team that got a good win over Nevada yesterday in overtime. So you take a look top to bottom. The Big 12 is just brutal. They've got so many good players. This is a very good league that I feel like might be the deepest in the country when you take a look at it, just because there are only 10 teams in that league.
Wow, and a team that has to play a bunch of Big 12 teams coming up, ranked 6th in the country. You got Wichita State that they just beat, you know, number 16 Baylor a couple days ago or a week or so ago, and then they've got Oklahoma State next on their schedule, and then they have Oklahoma. So really, and their only loss so far in the season was a 1-point loss to a very good Notre Dame team that's on a little bit of a skid right now, lost 2 out of their last 3. But Wichita State, what are some positives for them going forward and realistically looking at a tough schedule in the next few games?
Yeah, Wichita State's schedule is just brutal. They play that Maui Invitational, then they have to play against a tough South Dakota State team that they were able to get by yesterday, but South Dakota State, as I alluded to earlier, went on the road and knocked off Ole Miss. You can tell that Wichita State had a tough time with that one. And Oklahoma is going to be no pushover. They have one of the best point guards in the nation by the name of Trey Young. And I believe someone on ESPN actually called him the Steph Curry of college basketball. He's that good. And the kid is averaging right around 25 points per game, does a great job of assisting, does a little bit of everything, has good size. And it's really hard to disagree with that. And then when you take a look at all the teams that they're playing, like the Oklahoma State, all those teams, it's going to be tough because right now what many people don't realize is that their best forward, Marcus McDuffie, is not going to be returning until American Athletic Conference play. So that's a forward that's out. But what they do have is very good depth. I mean, Wichita State has like 8 guys on the roster that can give you 15 points and 8 rebounds on any given night. They are just deep. They are like Noah's Ark. They've got 2 of everything. So I think that Wichita State is going to be fine. I think that they're in for another 25-plus win season, despite the fact that they're going to be taking a massive upgrade in the competition that they play in conference with going from the Missouri Valley over to the American Athletic Conference.
Wow. Greg Peterson with us, my guys in the desert. Now, you mentioned Trey Young of Oklahoma. Now, all the listeners here know this. I am a diehard Oklahoma fan in all college athletics, so Trey Young, I've kept a close eye on him. Talk about what he does for that basketball team, and try to convince me that they can actually do something this year in the Big 12, because right now it just seems like everything goes through him, and he has to be the guy that not only creates for other guys. He's a point guard. I get you have to do that, but he also has to be the guy scoring. And it kind of reminds me of the whole Buddy Hield thing. Without all the shooters, when Buddy Hield was there, Oklahoma had a very good three-point shooting team, and when it came to the Final Four, Buddy Hield wasn't able to connect on a lot of shots, and everybody else got cold. Is that sort of the same feel for this Oklahoma basketball team?
I think that Oklahoma is going to be a team that probably winds up in the top 25 this year. Because, I mean, I mentioned how good Trey Young is, but they also have Kadeem Layton coming back from last year as well. You may recall that he was a forward on the team that went to the Final Four 2 years ago, and this team was just ravaged by injuries last year. Their leading scorer went out with 10 games left in the regular season last year, Jordan Woodard. So that was a bit of a tough blow for them. They were just really unlucky with all the transfers. And what people forget about Oklahoma is that their 2 main assistants took jobs elsewhere as well. So that meant that Lon Kruger had to go out. He had to get a new staff, and that's not easy. Now they're in the second year of having those new assistant coaches, so now things are beginning to mesh a little bit better. A lot of the players that they recruited the year before are now a year older, so it means that Trey Young has some guys that have been in the system with them a little bit longer as well. And Trey Young obviously bought in a little bit earlier than like April or something like that, so he knew the system that he was stepping into as well. So, I mean, all that really plays a factor in this. Lon Kruger, one of the best coaches out there. We've seen what he's done at places like UNLV and Florida. He's made it to Final Fours with multiple different teams, so I think that Oklahoma is in for a pretty good year, and in my opinion, is going to be a top 25 team.
And finally, before I let you go, let's talk about Alabama really quick and give these guys something to look forward to this season. Alabama, they're coming off of a really an unimpressive loss to Central Florida on Saturday or Sunday. I think Sunday. But then they have Arizona coming up on Friday, or later this week anyway, and then you got Texas, and then you have to jump into the SEC competition. It's a really brutal schedule they have because of the conference they're in, but even having Texas and Arizona on the schedule is brutal as well. So with the talent on their team, it seems like they do play down to the level of their competition. Where does Alabama finish in the SEC? Do they have a realistic chance of finishing close to the top in this conference?
And do not forget that Alabama has a huge game tonight against Rhode Island. Rhode Island is a team that actually had a big upset against Seton Hall in the preseason NIT. Rhode Island, one of the best mid-majors in the country, so do not overlook this Rams team tonight. But having said that, I think that Alabama is still going to be fine. They've been fighting through some injuries. We all remember the infamous 5-on-3 game that they played last week against Minnesota, and they actually outscored Minnesota in that time period as well.
That was impressive.
They had 3 guys out there, and they were outscoring Minnesota, who was ranked in the top 25 this week. So that's nothing short of amazing. Colin Sexton is a kid that can just take over a game. Danielle Gittens is a guy that needs to get it going a little bit more. He's a transfer from Ohio State. He's got good size, very solid forward, but he just hasn't seemed to have clicked the way that the coaching staff would have liked at this point. If he can get it going, that'll be huge for this Alabama team. It'll give them a little bit more balance because Braxton Key, Sexton and company, they're all very good guards. They just need a little bit more from their interior. If they can do that, this is an Alabama team that should go to the NCAA tournament, and in my opinion, should be in the top 4 in the SEC.
His name is Greg Peterson. My guy's in the desert. He knows a ridiculous amount about college basketball. You can't stump him. He's crazy good with knowledge, and I love every single second of it. Greg, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you next week.
Love talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Greg Peterson. Are you kidding me, guys? I just sat there and asked him questions about you know, everything. And he didn't hesitate. I went from the ACC to the Big 12 to Wichita State and the American. I went all over the place, and he was able to bring up players. He was able to bring up their benches, their scoring, all of without barely saying, and I'm a guy kind of guy. I like to think I know what I'm talking about, but I stutter. That guy's ridiculous, man. That's a good find there. That's a great, knowledgeable guest. So come March Madness, y'all need to pay attention because we're going to continue to have him on the show. But y'all need to pay attention when it comes to close to filling out your brackets. Big Dog and myself need to step up our game and need to listen to him come this year because we need to get revenge on Colin Archie. That was a letdown on my part. It was a bad job by me, and with Greg's help, I probably won't have NC State in my Final Four this year. And I never did bring that up. I had NC State in my Final Four in college basketball, and if y'all let me hear it. Cole had NC State in his Final Four in football, and y'all let him hear it. So, Cole, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you're listening, I feel for you, man. I'm right there with you. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, David Moulton of CBS is going to talk Army-Navy and the SEC's chances in their bowl games this upcoming bowl season. That does not happen without a break, so we'll be right back here on the Tom Abraham Show, Sports Radio 730, 1039, The Ump.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
Hey, so it's that time of year again. Yep, bowl season. 41 bowl games for you to watch, enjoy, take in, bask in, and relive your glory days of college football from the regular season. But here's my advice. Don't be a bowl Grinch. You know why? It's more football. And who hates more football? A bowl Grinch. These kids are getting rewarded for being college football players and putting together a positive season. They get travel money. They get bowl gifts. They get to go somewhere they may never travel again to their entire life, like Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I'll be going next week. Bowls are great for everyone involved. And do yourself and do all of us college football fans a favor. Don't be a bowl Grinch this holiday season. Merry Christmas.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's Alabama basketball. The 6-2 Tide will take on Rhode Island in Coleman Coliseum, where they boast a 4-1 home record. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all, not one bill. Your focus is supporting this child. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
The 8-4 Tennessee Titans head out west to the Valley of the Sun, University of Phoenix Stadium, to play the Arizona Cardinals. The award-winning Titans countdown is on the air at 2 Central. Then the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Coach Dave McGinnis call the action of Titans and Cardinals with a 3:05 Central kickoff. It's the Titans and the Cardinals this Sunday on this Titans radio station.
On your new home for the Titans, Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Cube Show.
The Baker Mayfield stuff on the sideline. His antics, his action.
No, that's good.
You like it?
Grabbing the junk, yeah. Just yelling like, yeah, beep you, beep you.
He tweeted an apology on his notepad.
Nah, I'm not listening to that crap.
I truly am sorry from the bottom of my heart.
Liar. You're
sincerely,
liar. No.
Baker Mayfield.
Take that
Mayfield.
Word back, too. You know, liar.
liar. You're not sorry. If you're sorry, why have to keep doing this stuff? I sincerely apologize. You lie. You lie. You lie like the devil.
Morning 6 to 10.
Migraine is a disabling disease affecting over 36 million Americans. The American Migraine Foundation helps people living with migraine to find the support and treatment they need. Make your move against migraine at AmericanMigraineFoundation.org.
Sponsored by Sprint. Just in time for the holidays, get a great deal on a Samsung device. Hurry into a Sprint store. Call 1-800-SPRINT-1 or visit Sprint.com/deals. Works for me. Restrictions apply.
Mostly cloudy and cold this afternoon and tonight. Maybe a bit of drizzle in spots. The high today, 47. Tonight's low, 32. For tomorrow, occasionally cloudy with a high at 48. Friday, colder with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Maybe a few flurries Friday night. Friday's high at 42. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Getting close to 3:30 here on your Wednesday afternoon, so we're quite literally about halfway through this week, and I know it's been up and down. We had a bunch of reaction to the college football playoff happen on Monday with Lugie and Cole and DA and Tom and all that stuff, and yesterday was a little different. You had me just for a couple hours getting things ready for this week, and we were supposed to start the day off with some Pac-12 action. That got moved to tomorrow, and then we had Greg Peterson in college basketball. So finally, I'm going to refill your need of college football, and I can't think of anybody better to fill it with than David Moulton. David, welcome in. How are you?
Well, I'm sure you can think of a few people, but you're stuck with me. How are you?
Man, I don't know about that. I hear you and Tom every week, and I get really jealous that I don't get a chance to ask you a bunch of questions because you're so smart and I like to pick your brain. So you're one of those guys, just like the guy we had before from My Guys in the Desert. He's a college basketball guy. You're one of those guys who can answer something off the top of your head that you're not prepared to answer, and you could do it without hesitation. So we appreciate having you on, and hopefully I won't make you have to think too hard today.
Well, listen, you know, I'm still riding the high of picking Georgia correctly. You know, you don't get too many moments like that when you do this for a living. So, you know, strike while the iron is hot.
Well, let's actually start with that red-hot Georgia team that avenges their only loss with a beatdown of their own against Auburn. They move into the college football playoff as the 3 seed after becoming the SEC champion. And they take on, and now I don't know if you know this, but I'm a diehard Oklahoma fan, so I'm trying to be impartial when I ask these questions, but they take on a red-hot Oklahoma team. Now, the month layoff for the best part on that offense, or best part on that football team, excuse me, for Oklahoma is their offense, and that layoff may hurt a little bit. Talk about that matchup, though. I mean, Oklahoma-Georgia in the Rose Bowl, does that not scream instant classic?
Well, and if you've never been to Pasadena and the Rose Bowl, it really is a special venue. Such an old stadium. If you ever go, the seats are pretty narrow. I mean, you know, it's a 100-plus-year-old stadium, and they haven't necessarily modernized it, if you know what I mean. So it's a comfortable fit. But I know Georgia's going to travel very well, probably even a little bit better than Oklahoma will for the game. It's usually a very fast track and on grass. I have to admit, I like Oklahoma in it. I think they're going to score their points, not necessarily Big 12 type points, but it's difficult for me to imagine that Georgia can hold them much below 24. And can Georgia score in the high 20s? When they absolutely have to. You know, they got the 28 against Auburn, but pretty much once they got to 17 or when they got, you know, they scored the touchdown to get to 19-7, everything after that, I think Auburn was kind of worn down. Yeah. I like Oklahoma because I think they can play from behind. I really don't know if Georgia can, even against that defense. I don't know if they can. If Georgia wins, though, it's going to be 200 yards rushing. It's going to be because they slow the game down. And, you know, one thing that I thought we should have noticed last week, Auburn substituted a lot. Georgia, Kirby was brilliant. I don't know if anyone has ever counter-substituted Auburn as well as Georgia did last week. They waited the 1-1000, 2-1000, and by 3-1000, they have to commit. And they pretty much waited 2.5 counts every time. It was like a WWE match. Every time the ref was about ready to leave the football, all right, nope, we're going to substitute. Now, one or two guys would slowly run off, and another couple guys would slowly come on. And it really slowed the SEC title game down. We had 56 plays run in the first half of the SEC championship game. Only 56 offensive plays. So I think if I'm Oklahoma, I got to not substitute against Georgia, because Georgia will slow that game down the way they did against Auburn. I think OU is going to have to not substitute and just run with the personnel that they have and try to keep Georgia with the same defensive personnel and not be able to sub out those D linemen.
Well, you bring up the SEC championship game and a game in which Georgia looked so good on so many different levels. And it starts with Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm looked very good behind what sounded like a home crowd. You would be able to tell me more about that. But to me, it all started up front. I saw Georgia's offensive line play extremely, extremely well and protect Fromm and give him time all day long. So what stood out to you more? Was it Fromm's performance or the offensive line? Or I guess you could say both if you want to cop out that way. But which was more impressive? Because they were both very impressive.
Well, Fromm was terrific. And I thought Gary Gingelson pointed out, Fromm seems to be really good throwing from between the numbers and the sideline. He throws a terrific out ball. And he's got the arm strength that he can throw all different kinds of outs. And those passes are very difficult to defend. Fromm was terrific. No question about it. I do think, though, that we took a look at the final score and did a little revisionist history as to the game. I mean, if you remember, Auburn was in complete control of that first quarter.
Yeah.
Scored in the opening drive. Georgia was not blocking Auburn in the first quarter. And Auburn comes down and gets in the red zone, and there's the strip sack in which Auburn's got at least a field goal to go up 10-0. And, you know, that's kind of the magic number against Georgia. Put them behind two scores, how would that team handle being behind by two scores? Yeah. I thought the strip sack, I think it was very early second quarter, I thought that was the key play in the game. And then remember, first play of the fourth quarter, it's only 13-7. And yes, Georgia had controlled the second and third quarters, but it's only 13-7, and Auburn's got the ball at midfield to start the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, they're 50 yards away from taking the lead and shifting all the pressure. So I do think the final score made it seem as if Georgia completely dominated. And yes, the crowd was 2-1 Georgia. There's no doubt about that. And Mercedes-Benz Stadium is louder than the Georgia Dome was. Our audio guys even said that when they set up, they put the levels of the same as the Georgia Dome and had to turn everything down because it was just a much louder place. But I do think there's a little revisionist history going on in the game. Auburn dominated the first quarter and was right there at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, it seemed like in the first matchup and in this matchup, it just went different ways. But in the first matchup, Auburn was winning the game, but they weren't winning by much. And it was that muffed punt, to me, it felt like, that turned that whole game around for Auburn and allowed them to pull away. And then it was the consistent, or not consistent, I wouldn't say, but the couple turnovers by Auburn in the SEC championship game that allowed Georgia to start taking over. In that fourth quarter, like you said, Auburn just didn't have it with them anymore. Is that something that Georgia will need to beat an Oklahoma team, to force some turnovers against a Baker Mayfield quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over that often?
No, but I think the key is, you know, Georgia only put 13 points on the board in the first three quarters against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Can Oklahoma defensively slow the Georgia offense down like that? You know, the Oklahoma-Ohio State game, as you know, being a Sooner fan, it was kind of like the SEC championship game for three quarters. You know, the defense is actually held up, and then because of it, Baker Mayfield and company were able to make a couple plays in the fourth quarter. The defense actually held up in that game until Baker could put it away and win it. I'm wondering, you know, can Georgia offensively put pressure on Oklahoma's offense, if you will? If they're keeping the ball, moving it, scoring it, now all of a sudden Baker Mayfield begins to realize, oh, this is not like the games we've been playing this year. We've gotten out to early leads, and we're going to get about 14 possessions. Maybe we only get 10 or 11 possessions in this game, and now we're already trailing. I mean, that's what Georgia has to do. They have to establish, I think, their offense early so that they can play from ahead against Oklahoma. Don't let Oklahoma, who draws their confidence from their offense, have it then move over to their defense.
Yeah, and Georgia playing ahead over an Oklahoma team is different than a Big 12 team playing ahead against an Oklahoma team, because Georgia, like you mentioned several times, has the ability to slow it down. I haven't seen too many Big 12 teams this year that had that ability. Oklahoma, to me, seemed like the only team in the Big 12 that, if they needed to, could go down the field several times on 10, 11 play drives, which they have multiple times this season. But you also saw in the second half of the Big 12 championship game, they scored two times in three plays. They have that ability everywhere. I don't think they've seen a team that can slow the ball down, at least not in a long time. So I'm with you there. And trust me, I'm terrified of this game. I think it's going to be a fantastic matchup. And I think this is the best playoff matchup on paper. I mean, obviously things didn't turn out great in certain instances. Like last year, I thought Clemson-Ohio State was going to be a good game on paper. So things could go different ways. But on paper this year, I think this might be the best matchup we've had in the playoffs conception. And obviously that starts with Alabama, Clemson part three. Now, talk me through this matchup, because you can go so many different ways with this thing.
Well, the pressure's on Clemson for the first time.
Absolutely.
So, and that will be a factor. You know, they are now the hunted. How about that? Alabama in the position of being the hunters. My goodness, when in the last, I don't know, when this decade has Alabama walked out onto the field in the position of being the hunters? So I expect Bama to be loose, to play better, certainly, than we last saw them, but even better than we saw them in November. They're going to be healthier. And, you know, the Alabama team of September and October was unquestionably the best team in the country. To me, can Alabama run the football with someone other than their quarterback? I mean, the reason they lost the national championship last year was Bo Scarborough was the only effective tailback they had.
Yeah.
And once he got hurt, they couldn't run the ball, and then they were even afraid to run the ball on third and one and a half. I mean, that to me is the game. If Alabama can just establish a solid running game, it plays into every other element of their team and how they like to play the games. They were awful on third down against Clemson last year.
Yeah.
Hideous. Didn't convert a third down for 2.5 hours. Can they convert on third and short against Clemson? Because they're going to be in third and short again. They did in the 2015 game. They did in the 2016 game, if you will. Can they convert this time around? I think Alabama getting a reprieve. I think they're going to play very well. And, you know, my initial reaction was I like Clemson. Every day that goes by, I have to admit, I'm liking Alabama more and more.
I don't blame you. I think it has a lot to do with that mentality Alabama's going to have coming into this game. You mentioned, in my opinion, I like the fact that Alabama, I like this matchup better, that Alabama's the 4 seed and barely squeezed in, instead of them again being either 1 or 2 and dueling it out, because so many times we've seen Alabama as the number one team defend their number one spot, which that by itself is unprecedented. Nick Saban getting a team ready to take everybody's best shot, no matter who they are, week in and week out, is impressive. But now we see a team that basically got a bye week last week, get to come in the playoffs, they get a chance to rest up, and they have a different mentality. They're not defending a number one spot. This time, they're going after the number one team. Should that terrify Clemson? Because I'm going to be honest with you, David, it terrifies me.
Well, nothing terrifies Clemson. And also, let's not sugarcoat what this game is for. This game is now to determine which program is the preeminent program in college football.
Good point.
I mean, you know, it's like boxing. You know, when we have a trilogy, whoever takes 2 out of 3 is considered the better fighter, whether their fans want to face it or not. So, you know, Clemson, Alabama, whoever wins, they're now the standard in the sport. And when you think about it, Alabama's been the standard in this sport pretty much most of this decade. So that's at stake in this game. I just think if you're Alabama, granted, you can't rush the passer nearly as well as you used to, but that kid's not Deshaun Watson either. And their wide receivers, while talented, are not as good and as deep as the last two teams' wide receivers. So to me, if you're Bama, if Clemson can't beat you running the football, I think ultimately you think to yourself, I don't know if this kid can beat us throwing the football. The other guy could, I don't know if this guy and this team can.
David Moulton, CBS with us. That's a great point. Now, I'm very, very jealous. I mentioned earlier, I like to be a jealous guy because I'm an aspiring sports radio guy and I get to hear Tom interview all these cool guys. And now I'm jealous of you, David, because you get to do something that I think a lot of people want to do. And that is you are going to be at the Army-Navy game this weekend. So please, you just rub it in my face for a minute and talk about how cool that is and what you expect to see this weekend.
Well, it's my favorite game of the year, which says a lot. Because obviously I'm lucky enough to be part of the SEC on CBS crew. And those are some pretty damn terrific Saturday afternoon games. But as glorious as the Iron Bowl is, and as glorious as the Saturday night in Baton Rouge is, if I could only go to one game every year, it really would be this one. If you've never been there for the march on, it's very difficult not to see it and not to cry. I mean, honestly, you feel something at the Army-Navy game that you really don't feel at the other games. I mean, think of that flyover at the last college football game you went to, only that flyover lasts for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
And also, you know, if you have any sort of military in your family, my grandfather was in the Army, my father was in the Army, you're also in just a bit of awe to realize how special these young men are. And to realize also in the world that we are in today, how shortly after that game, they could be going off to do what they have been trained to do. And that, unfortunately, because of the world that we live in this century, that there are too many that we'd like to talk about who have played in the Army-Navy game who are no longer with us. And it is, I don't know, I'm in awe of the whole day, to be honest with you. I usually cry at least once. I usually cry right before kickoff, and sometimes, particularly last year, you know, Army finally ended the long drought, and it's a big deal. They each sing their songs, and the loser has to sing first. And to see the emotion from Army last year when they got to sing second and what it meant to them, and also when you see what defeat means to the other team, you know, because let's face it, in the Power Five conferences, we oftentimes think of they have a chance to play beyond this. I mean, those men that we see this Saturday, you know, if they're seniors, that's their last football game. You know, I mean, I know both are going to a bowl game, but you know what I mean. I mean, that's it. This will probably be what they remember, the penultimate moment of their football careers and their young lives as an athlete. And it just, if you can take a half a step back and ever experience the game, I first off, go as early as you can. Try to see the walk-on, which takes place like 2.5 hours beforehand. And as you would expect, it is done with great precision. When they say they're going to show up at this time, they show up at this time. And they say it's going to take this long, and it takes this long. And it's just real. And both sides stand for the whole game. It doesn't matter the weather. It doesn't matter how long it takes. They stand for the whole game. It is what the hype that you've heard about it is. It really is special. If you could get it on your bucket list, and tickets are tough to come by, but if you can go, go.
Wow, that was like a 3-minute long, just powerful, powerful statement there. And now I have just one more question. I don't want to get into all of the whole all SEC football team, first and second team. There's just one thing that stood out to me, and I thought it would be a great question for you because you got to watch Jared Stidham go on this incredible run up until the SEC championship game. You got to see him look lights out against Alabama and Georgia late in November. But he comes in on the second team. First team, you got Drew Locke from Missouri, who had an incredible season, a record-breaking season in his own right. Do you have a problem with that?
I have to admit, I'm not a big first, second, and third team guy.
I don't blame you.
Listen, Stidham in November was, you know, the best quarterback in the conference. Was Stidham for 3 months first team all conference? I'm not sure that he was. I think you could make the case, you know, Locke, even when they were 1-5, had some terrific games, but their defense was woeful. So I don't really have a problem with it. To me, What I look for more is not who got snubbed for first or second team, but add up the number of first and second teamers per school. And, you know, a little thing like, you know, Florida, once again, I mean, I think they had four guys on the first and second team, but two of them were kickers. And none of them outside of an offensive tackle. Once again, here's Florida with no skill players making the all-SEC team. You know, you can really see from a recruiting standpoint, if you look at the first and second all-SEC teams and add up the numbers, it will tell you sometimes some things a year early from conclusions that you'll draw the following year. You'll go, maybe they weren't as good as we thought. You take a look individually and you realize, last year they had seven guys. This year they only have five.
Yeah.
I think the numbers tell you something more than the specific first or second teamers do.
That's a good point. And my last question here is bowl related to the entire SEC. Last year, obviously, they went six, or they had 12 teams make it, 13 bowl games, if you count out both of Alabama's games, ultimately finishing 6-7, counting the national championship loss. Only eight SEC teams, I think, in this year, but you got the two in the college football playoff. Two-part question. Number one, compared to last year, is that better or worse? I mean, less teams, but two teams in the college football playoff. And number two, do they have more than six bowl wins this year?
I don't know about more. That's a great over-under. You know, if you put the over-under at 6.5, it means they'd have to go, what, 7-3? Because they got 10, or do they have 9?
I thought I counted 8, but I'm often wrong.
Okay. Well, here's my thing. In terms of what their overall bowl record is, I just think there are two things that they must accomplish. One of the two teams has to win a semifinal.
Yeah.
All right. The SEC cannot go 0-2 because – college football is the longest offseason of all the sports, and it'll be 230 days of SEC is overrated, Alabama shouldn't have gotten a spot, blah, 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 and the SEC will have no defense for it. 0-2 is 0-2 for 230 days. So, A, at the very least, they have to get a split. That's number one. And number two, Auburn's got to beat UCF. All right? Honestly, they do. That would be an embarrassing loss. I know they're undefeated, number 12 in the country and all that, but Auburn needs to beat UCF. Anything that happens after that, I think, can be explained. Quite frankly, and written off, and I really don't know how much SEC fan cares. But they got to split the semis at worst, and they have to win the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you 100% there. David Moulton, CBS, I really appreciate you joining me, David. Thank you for coming on. I know it's no big dog, but I appreciate it so much. We'll catch up with you next week.
Well, it's nice to not be yelled at, I have to admit.
Well, I would never yell at you, David. I shouldn't say never.
No.
I don't know about that.
No, at the beginning with the second time, you could just fire away. But, it was nice not to be, told, no, that's not it. So, that's good.
Well, thank you so much. I'll catch up with you next week.
All right, be good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Golly, I get the nice ones, man. Big Dog messed up and left me with the nice ones. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to set you up. I'm overtime. I'm going to set you up for the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Joe Galina will be in. Roto Experts, get your fantasy football questions in now. You guys are trying to make the playoffs. I know you have some, so please let me know what you got. At Tony Mack UMP, probably the best place. You can at Joe Galina, at JoeGallina. At him. Ask him what he's got going on and answer those questions. I can ask him on air, so just let me know at Tony Mack UMP. We'll be right back. Almost called it my show. It's not my show. I'm sorry. Big Dog's probably going to hear about that. My bad. I have a show on Saturday called Tony Mack Triplet. I got a little mixed up there. It's the Tom Abraham Show, hosted by yours truly, Tony Mack. We'll be right back here on 730, 103.9 The Elm.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. The NFL disciplinarians and the appeals officers were busy yesterday. It was announced that Rob Gronkowski's appeal of his one-game suspension was rejected. Juju Smith-Schuster had a one-game suspension announced. His appeal was rejected as well. And then George Iloka's suspension was announced, but his appeal was heard and it was accepted. So once again, this has never been more confusing than it is right now. Obviously, safety is an enormous concern in the league right now, so you're going to get suspended for a helmet-to-helmet shot. Or at least I thought. not. Juju Smith-Schuster was, but George Iloka was not. Are they not the same crime? The punishment's different here. How does Gronk get a one-game suspension for a non-football play when Juju gets a one-game suspension for making a football play? The league needs to figure this out, because the only thing worse than not punishing players for dangerous hits is punishing players inconsistently. I'm Jim Rome.
Driving is unpredictable. Just take it from Carrie.
Please don't do this to me. Oh, or Peter.
Go around me, please. Yeah, happy holidays to you too.
Or this family trying to get to grandma's in time for dinner.
Whoa, what was that?
Oh.
This is Hum. How can I help you?
Oh, hi. We have a flat. Any chance you could send someone out to help?
We have your location, and we'll send help your way.
With all the uncertainties on the road, it's nice to know there's Hum by Verizon. Hum is the connected car system that assists and empowers drivers, so you can stay on top of your car's health and get help when trouble arises. It's a smart way to stay informed about your car and keep your family safer on the road. This holiday season, get Hum and get where you're going. Visit hum.com or your local Verizon store for special holiday savings.
You didn't get knocked.
Thanks for tuning in. Wednesday morning, we spoke with Laura Rutledge, Lance Taylor, Bud Elliott of TomahawkNation.com, and Vegas Runner to get you set on bowl games and this weekend's football action. If you missed any of it, head over to umpsports.com, grab the podcast there, and check us out the rest of the week on the podcast, because we're going to be out, but we're back in Monday for you, 6 to 10 a.m., right here on the Ump. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. Go get the podcast at umpsports.com.
Madison RV.
You're a savvy buyer waiting for the right time to buy an RV. Well, your wait is over. Find unbelievable prices during Madison RV's end-of-year clearance sale. Every Madison RV on the lot is marked down. All motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers. You'll never find a better time for inventory, price, and financing. There's still plenty of time for tailgating and camping. Don't miss Madison RV's end-of-year clearance sale going on now.
You've been saving for a big man cave. Good luck with that, Dave. Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, guys, this is Scott Howell for iProtect Insurance and Financial Services. Give us a call today for all your insurance needs at 256-444-2041 or visit us online at theinsuranceguyonline.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.
When you book your holiday travel with Priceline, you can save up to $300 on your flight. With savings like that, you'll have extra money to spend on better gifts for your nieces and nephews.
Look, Mom! Uncle Phil got us a drum set! Yay!
That's the sound of being a caring and generous gift giver. And when you've had enough of that gift, you can also save up to 60% on hotels for the deals you won't find anywhere else. Go to Priceline.
Express deals are different. Exact airline or hotel shown only after booking.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Tom Abraham Show. Tony Mack here covering just a few seconds here before we get the music started and we go to the top of the hour. So I'm going to remind you, at Tony Mack UMP is how you get your fantasy football questions in, because we're about to have Joe Galina from Roto Experts on the show, top of the hour. So get that in if you want to just talk to me, at Tony Mack UMP. You can definitely tweet me there. Or you can call in the show after Joe Galina. I'm wide open, guys. I will have a rewind towards the end of the show like Tom does, but I will be open the segment after Joe Galina, and I will be open the top of the five. So 866-485-WUMP. That's 866-485-9867. Call me. Let me know how I'm doing. If you want to, talk about anything I brought up, and we're going to get into much, much more coming up soon. Grumpy's probably going to call back. He called me on the break, had a great idea. We'll talk about that and get your guys' thoughts on that as well. How about that? 2 hours already in the books. I already got two down, and I still have my voice. Yesterday, I don't know what it was. I think I screamed a little more than normal yesterday. But we'll be right back with more Tom Abraham Show. Joe Galina, Roto Experts, next. Get your fantasy football questions in. Stay tuned.
WUMP Sports Radio. The Op.
Back in the spring, the guys who brought you Zanies in Nashville and other great comedy clubs around the South opened up Stand Up Live Comedy Club in Huntsville on the South Parkway near Governors, bringing big-time acts to the Valley. Now, did you know that you can have your holiday office party at Stand Up Live Comedy Club? That's right, from small parties of 10 or so to buying out the entire club for big business, how cool would it be to have your event at Stand Up Live Comedy Club? Lunch or dinner parties. There are packages that include food and the entertainment. This is the time to start making your plans for the coolest, most memorable party in town. Now is the time to contact the club at 261-3374. That's 261-3374. Or visit huntsville.standuplive.com for more information. Go to the website, just click on the link. It's great food, it's great laughs, and it's a great party. Break from the mundane. Set up your event at Stand Up Live Comedy Club now. Dates will go fast.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Weekend deals are here at Target. So here's your very merry, hold the phone, mobile stocking stuffer sidekick guide to saving big this holiday season. This Saturday and Sunday, get in on hundreds of the cartwheel deals you love, only in the Target app. That's hundreds of wish list makers just waiting for a scroll, swipe, and click, including 30% off C9 for the family and 20% off holiday lights. It's time to get appy. This weekend, save on hundreds of deals with Cartwheel, only in the Target app. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Find the RV of your dreams at Hawes RV in Albertville. Winners of Retailer of the Year from the Alabama Retail Association. The 2017 blowout sale is going on now with huge markdowns on all 2017 models, travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes of all sizes. Just in time to make room for the 2018 models coming in daily. 256-894-6235 or stop by Hawes RV today on Highway 431 in Albertville and online at HawesRVSales.com. Hawes RV. We sell fun.
Denise, Denise, when you're not near, my heart does decrease. No, that's not good.
He went to Jared because he realized a necklace would probably say it a little better. It's the Jared Last Chance to Save event with amazing discounts store-wide, special pricing on hundreds of new pieces, and exclusive jewelry you'll only find at Jared. The Jared Last Chance to Save event, December 7th through 10th. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play and dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution. You can protect clean water in our community by joining the Clean Water Challenge. To get involved,
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Are you ready, Alabama? Alabama!